Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The sun is calling. Are you ready? From beach days to soccer plays. Blue Lizard Australian Sunscreen helps protect your family skin so you can focus on the fun, not the sun. With no fragrances, parabens, or phthalates, our mineral sunscreen is designed for your sensitive skin and trusted by dermatologists, pediatricians, and parents alike. Be fearless in the sun with Blue Lizard Australian Sunscreen. Shop now on Amazon.com.
The Burt Show.
Monday morning. How's everybody doing? How you doing, Abby? Welcome back from Florida.
Happy to be here. You know, I love Florida. I love going to go see my family, but really like being back in Atlanta. You know, Florida just has that weird Florida man energy. And I forget that I live there most of my life because I'm like, I just simply do not identify with the aura that this state is bringing right now. But it was good to see my family. My cousin is having a baby, so we all got together for her gender reveal. We all went out and, you know, caused havoc around Tampa. But yeah, pretty wild weekend for the fam.
Okay. How about you, Mo?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Had an eventful weekend. I'm feeling it now, but it was a great weekend. Hosted an event on Saturday, which we'll talk about. Went and played basketball for the first time in 5 years yesterday.
You got some muscles that you didn't realize that you had.
Yeah, they have not been worked in a while, and I'm paying for it now. But it was fun to be back out there doing my thing. So I'm good. It was a good weekend.
Yeah, mine was a very chill weekend. I just hung out with family and hung out with Jimmy and did some stuff around the house. And yeah, it was very, very uneventful, which I appreciated because I needed.
Yeah, I kind of had one of those rot weekends also because Amanda's dad, I told you guys, was hanging with us over the weekend. He was recovering from a minor procedure. So he stayed with us this weekend. So Amanda and I used the weekend really to do nothing at all. Nothing, zero, zero. And then I come in here today and now I'm irritated right off the bat because freaking Ethan beat me into my spot this morning.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Got him again.
Do you guys remember that old Mel Gibson movie where it's like, give me back my son? No, it's
give
not
me
the
back
same
my
thing.
Parking space.
All I want is my parking space back. That's all. So I literally, when I woke up in the morning, I thought, there's no way this kid is going to take this seriously. So I got up early to be in here early. And when I pulled in, I started laughing so hard because he had beaten me. We're taking this seriously.
Yeah, I pulled in, and the first thing I did this morning when I pulled into the parking lot was I looked to the right, and I saw your car, but then next to it, backed into your spot nonetheless.
Yeah, he did that last time. Here he is. For those of you that weren't listening on Friday, that's kind of my spot. You know, it's not officially my spot, but when you park in a spot long enough, consistently enough, you inherit it. So you just kind of feel like it's yours. And then on Friday, this guy parked in my spot and he said that he did it purposely, that his mom listens to the show also. And I thought, you know what? No problem. You got me to, I didn't even know we were in a war, but Monday I'll get you. So I literally woke up this morning, didn't hit snooze, nothing, knowing I wanted to get in here early to get the spot. And Ethan was here already.
Two things. First, I was here first this morning, and I almost took the spot, threw it in both their faces.
I said that would have been hilarious. Two, we both pull in, and you got in there?
And two, Ethan was obviously here before you. I was going to have him come down and be sitting at your mic.
Ethan, what time did you get up this morning and come in here from Ackworth?
I got here at 4, or I got up at 4:45. I got here at 5:15. Somewhere in there.
What time do you normally get up to come in?
Well, you see, since I knew I was going to be on the show, I had to get up a little bit earlier.
You don't even start work till 10.
That way, because I'm studying for that certification I told you about.
Yeah.
So and this is cutting into my time.
Yeah, but you need your sleep. And it's important to sleep a little bit extra in the morning so you're fresh.
Yeah, I guess so. You just go to bed earlier.
Damn it. Legitimately thought, man.
Sunday night, you had, you know, big dinner.
Yeah.
You get to bed early.
Yeah. All right. Well, either you're a cumulus plant who is trying to motivate me to get in early, and that's not going to work, or you can just have the spot. I had one day of fight in me. If you're going to get in that early, it's all yours, man.
You know, the spot that I really want is the one that's directly across that silver car.
Oh, that used to be my spot. And then Kaylee took my spot.
Now we got a four-way fight going on. Yeah, so that used to be yours, and then Kaylee stole it?
Yeah, but you know what I did? I moved on like an adult. I didn't make this a four-day bid.
Now, I am fairly certain that you could get in before Kaylee every day.
I don't know. He told me he gets in pretty early.
All right. Well, you can officially have my spot now when you beat me. And now, are you in Monday through Friday?
You can have it on Fridays.
Oh, man, told you when you can have your spot.
Can we do a joint custody of a spot? Do we need like a notary in here?
Now, how early would I have to get in to consistently beat you every morning?
You'll never know. I mean, it could be different every day.
Damn this kid. Yeah.
Why would I reveal that?
Exactly.
You're real good, man. You can have the spot. It's yours. Okay. And what are you studying for? Your IT? What is it?
Yeah, it's called a CCNA.
Which means what?
Cisco Certified Network Associate.
And then is there a possibility when you get that, you'll get promoted and then move out of the city?
That'd be great. And I'm just kidding. I love my job. But I'll probably just end up studying for another cert. So I'll just keep coming in early. He's going nowhere.
I love my job, but how much are you offering?
Right. I don't want it that bad. Good luck.
Okay.
All right.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Kim Kardashian is taking legal action against Kanye West because he released a new song featuring his daughter and Sean Diddy Combs. This is crazy considering the charges that Sean Diddy Combs is facing right now. I can only imagine the rage that Kim felt when she found out this news. So Kanye released a song called Lonely Roads Still Go to Sunshine, and it features 11-year-old Northwest, Sean Diddy Combs's son, King Combs, Kanye, and Sean Diddy Combs. Now, Kim decided to take legal action to get him to unrelease the song. So basically, she pulled the card that Kim actually has North's name trademarked. So she sent cease and desist letters saying, like, you can't use her name for this song because I have it trademarked. So he did unrelease the song over the weekend. But the fact that he released it in the first place, to me, I know him and Diddy have a relationship, but just all of the charges and the sex trafficking and the racketeering, the charges that he's facing, like, why would you even want your daughter associated with somebody like that?
It's almost like he sits down with a group of people and they brainstorm ways on how I can be a more indecent person. It's like, what can I do that most people wouldn't do that I know is absolutely wrong so people will talk about me? Or he's just really disturbed.
I feel like that's exactly what he does. I mean, because at this point, his reputation can't take more of a hit than it already has. I don't even think it's surprising. Like, it doesn't surprise me when Kanye stoops to this level. So it really does seem like he tries to come up with ways to it. I can do something that I know everybody will talk about it. And it's what he does every time.
I just want to remind people that of all the accusations and alleged accusations that Abby is referring to, North is 11. There is one accuser who was 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So let that sink in.
And I also think, you know, like, and I say this time and time again, that from a kid that came from a really bad divorce, this is going to backfire on Kanye eventually. At some point or another, she's going to be old enough. She's already old enough to be online and know exactly what he's doing. Their relationship will be fractured forever because we only know about this because he went off publicly this weekend. And I say this time and time again, when it comes to co-parenting, even if you're mad, you're so mad at the other person, it's not the kid's fault. Do not make them the victim of your divorce. And that's exactly what he's doing.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder if Kim Kardashian knew that Kanye was capable of this type of behavior, because you'd like to think if you knew that this was the person that you married, you wouldn't have gone through with it in the first place, because I really didn't think it'd get worse than the Nazi stuff. And then he just continues to dig his hole even deeper.
No, I have a friend who married a guy, and I mean, talk about, you think you know somebody, and then years later, like, true colors come out. It's actually quite terrifying how he presented at the beginning of the relationship to the person that he is today. So I think it's very possible that she thought she was getting into a stable, loving relationship, and then over time, it just eroded.
Well, maybe you know the timeline of this better than me, but he wasn't really like this until his mom passed away. So maybe she was kind of the crazy barrier, or he acted appropriately because he wanted to make sure that his mom approved of him. And then when she passed away, it just seems like the crazy floodgates have opened.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely started when his mom passed, for sure. It wasn't this bad, but you could see the signs. That there were definitely signs that Kanye was going in a direction that wasn't so righteous. But at some point, he crossed a line that I don't think anybody saw. Even with his mom passing, it got to a point where I don't think anyone could have saw Kanye going this far.
On a more lighthearted Nepo baby note, Brenda Song is talking about her husband, Macaulay Culkin, and the things he never learned to do because he was such a big child star. So this man is 44 years old, and Brenda Song is currently promoting this new show that me, Kristen, and Cassie love called Running Point. Stars Kate Hudson. Brenda Song, of course, is in it. And so on the Jennifer Hudson show, Brenda was talking about her fiance, Macaulay Culkin, and how he never learned to drive or do laundry.
So I always say Mac is a very unique human, being like the most famous child actor in the world.
Yes.
He lived and grew up in hotels. He had just never really done laundry. And I was shooketh. I have been doing laundry since I was a baby,
You started at 16, so not too far behind.
No, but I've been doing laundry since I was like, 10, whatever it is, helping my mom. And so it's funny, like, teach him how to like do laundry.
Uh-huh.
He still doesn't know how to drive. I like took him out to like drive in our neighborhood. I was terrified, let me tell you. I'm like, this 44-year-old man driving for the first time, I was like, nope, I gotta hire someone to do that.
The laundry thing is one thing, because it's like, okay, you hire someone to do it for $200 a week or whatever. You've got child star money. But the driving thing, like, you don't want to get out into the road and take yourself somewhere.
Well, I guess if you live in New York City, it's more common.
If you live in New York and you've got his kind of money at that age, I would want to be chauffeured around everywhere, too.
Exactly. All right, Gene Hackman's will left everything to his wife, who is now deceased. So who will inherit his estate? I'll tell you who might have a claim on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Hey, sports fans, what up? It's Kaylee from The Burt Show. I gotta tell you, if you're looking for the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action this basketball season, you've gotta check out Prize Picks, by far the best place for daily fantasy sports. It's super simple. Just pick more or less on at least two players, and you can win up to 1,000 times your cash. This week, I'm eyeing Jason Tatum for more than 29 points and Anthony Edwards for more than 25 points. What do you think? Think you know your hoops? Just make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports knowledge into real money. All season long. And here's the best part. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play just $5. That's right. You don't even need to win to claim your bonus. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code BURTSHOW to get your instant $50 bonus. That's code BURTSHOW. Prize Picks. Run your game.
This Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Probably the wildest St. Patrick's Day celebration in the country. It is in Savannah. We sent our youth group there over the weekend for the St. Patty Shenanigan Showdown.
St. Patrick's Day. We'll have a drink. Come down our way. Talk about the land that we hold dear.
Where's me body going?
All right, so this was Messy Mikey's very first time down in Savannah. What'd you think of it?
I don't know. I can't remember that much. Okay. No, it was fantastic. I like it down there.
Do you?
Yeah, it's good.
It is wall to wall. Like, if you like it loud and you like it shoulder to shoulder, especially River Street there, man, it's a wild couple days.
Yeah, no, that's party time down there. And good people. I didn't meet a mean person yet.
All right, so we sent them down to Savannah, but we need to make it a little interesting, a little competitive here. There's $1,000 on the line right now for the winner of our Shenanigan Showdown. But the loser here, man, the loser has to paint themselves green all week long. Every meeting, every dinner, everywhere you out in public, green, green, green all week.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go check throughout the entire morning, because it was very obvious for anybody who followed any of you on Instagram that shenanigans were had. times 10. So each shenanigan we gave you was worth 100 points. By the end of the show, we will know how many points all of you all accrued, who will be getting $1,000, and who will be painted green. So I'm going to go down the list of shenanigans throughout the morning. But, you know, to make it fun, because today is St. Patrick's Day. Somebody got the memo. Rebecca.
Kathy, I had completely forgot. Not a little bit of green on me nowhere.
The only reason why I remember is now because I have a four-year-old, and I got him a St. Patty's Day shirt to wear to school, and I laid it out yesterday, so I remembered. All right, so I'm going to go through some list of shenanigans. And when I give the shenanigan, if you did said shenanigan, you want to if you want to claim your 100 points, you have to say in an Irish accent, "Where's my pot of gold?"
All right, and these are all worth 100 points each.
Each 100 points each. So, the first shenanigan. Did anybody do an hour's worth of time with a tip jar busking?
Where's my pot of gold?
Every single one of them did.
Okay.
All right, so details. How'd you make the cash? And what'd you do?
So this was kind of a collaborative effort. We all perked our butts on River Street, and we held up a sign saying, write a secret. And we had strangers come up and share their secrets on little pieces of paper and pen, which they were very excited to do, I think. It was actually really surprising. As soon as I held up that poster, people were running to tell us their secrets.
It's really a great idea.
And Mikey did caricatures.
Yeah, as people were writing down their secrets, I'd sit there with a pen and paper and draw a caricature until Jackson was like, this is way too offensive. You can't keep handing these out.
Yeah, they started to look like political cartoons towards the end of it. I was like, you got to relax. You cannot give that one to her. And it was a very collaborative effort among all of us. Katie acted as the table because we were only about 40% prepared. So people were just writing basically on her back as they were writing down their secrets. It was a good time, though. People were very kind and very nice to us.
And there was no money involved in it. It was just a...
So Mikey bought a giant jar of cheese balls that he dumped out all over the table and then cleaned it out. And that was our tip jar.
Somehow nobody was tipping me for my caricatures.
Imagine. Yeah, it's offensive.
All right, so
sorry about that.
Katie, Rebecca, Amber, Jackson, Mikey, all on the board with 100 points.
All a little bit closer to $1,000. Very well done.
All right, your next shenanigan. Again, if you did said shenanigan, you must yell, "Where's my pot of gold?" Did any of you get up on the stage at the strip club that Amber used to work at?
Katie and Rebecca.
Amber, you didn't want to feel the glory days?
I have a reason for later. You'll find out why.
Okay.
All right, do tell.
So I think the strip club that Amber worked at was shut down, but we went to one of the same caliber.
Okay, cool.
That's all. If it's of the same caliber of a club that got shut down, you're saying that it's about to get shut down.
It was interesting. It had some lovely girls. It was Mikey's first time at a strip club.
Oh, no way. Yeah.
I've never been to a strip club, and I'm not sure I knew how to conduct myself completely. I was just standing against the bar trying to keep my hand by my side. And whenever I tipped my first stripper, this is what happened.
Okay, Mikey, what did you say when you tipped the stripper?
I don't know if you're supposed to talk, so I said, I gave her $2. I said, here you go, bam, bam. And I'm a little embarrassed about it.
Bam, bam, strong $2.
For
$2. Those were them things, baby.
So every time you threw out a one, you went bam?
It feels like you have to say something. I didn't know how to do it.
No. Bam, bam. Bam.
Made your day, didn't I?
Man, you get some of those strippers in those clubs, man. It's like a semi-automatic going off.
Yeah, it could have been ugly for you.
Go get you a Diet Coke, baby. Yeah.
And so am me. Big Mikey.
To get one of these things, a little...
Oh, yeah. Finger guns.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mikey, the one thing he kept saying the whole time was like, Katie, you're so cool about this, because I was able to kind of tip the women on the side. They had like several stages. And one woman, as I was doing a little tip, was like, you know what, girl, let me bring you on stage for a quick little dance.
Come on.
So she brought me on stage for a quick dance, but the bouncers were really strict. So it was like, get down. So I didn't last long up there.
But you got up there.
But I got up there. And along the way, we lost Amber.
What? Breaking news. I think we lost Amber to the undisclosed room that you're not supposed to go in. You come to a club of this. You know what I'm trying to say.
They now have her working in the construction site in the back.
All I can say is that we don't know where she went, and we need to find her.
Okay, well, this club was in, like, an industrial park, like, with, like, a bunch of machinery. It was, like, an oil refinery. I don't know what it was, but...
I was about to say, you are, they educated you on the champagne room, right?
I can't think of a sexier setting than what you're describing.
All right, so I may have disappeared to the back room, and honestly, I don't remember some of this, but I did get a couple of adult dances privately.
Amber, you didn't get on the stage with a stripper, but somehow you got a stripper's number tonight?
Yes. But listen, in my defense, it's kind of hard.
All right, you heard it here first, folks. Savannah, it's not that hard to get a stripper's number. Come on now, it's still the first night in Savannah.
I was really confident, so I was really, really, really lit.
Feeling yourself.
Really
okay.
Feeling
okay.
Yeah.
So here's the story of how I got on stage, because I never expected this to happen. I had a favorite dancer. She was very gorgeous to me, very beautiful to me.
Do we remember her name?
Oh, I didn't ask her name, and it's my biggest regret ever, because I'm going back.
Chances
I'm going
are pretty
back
good
to
it was
her.
Desiree.
She's like diamonds in my head. So I went up to the stage, and I started tipping her, and she sat down on the edge, and she said, have you gotten your St. Patrick's Day spanking yet? No, but I love one. So she had me prop up on the stage and get my St. Patrick's Day spanking.
Well done. You almost get extra points for that.
Right?
Well
done.
So I picked a dancer who was my favorite. She was quite beautiful. She was very sweet, and she gave me a St. Patrick's Day spanking on the stage, which was kind of her. Oh, wait. Sorry. Mikey has something to say.
This lady's face looked exactly like Cassie.
Exactly.
No.
And to me, that means Rebecca has a thing for authority, and Cassie is her boss. And literally, Cassie is Rebecca's dream now.
I'm not kidding. She looked identical.
So many questions. How much alcohol were you into the weekend, Mikey, at that point? Because that didn't sound like your voice.
I'd had a couple of beers.
Listen, he thought a construction zone was out back at a strip club. I'm not trusting him. I did see an Instagram story, though, that said the youth group will never be the same. And now I think Rebecca and my working relationship will never be the same.
She just had red hair.
No, that's not true. The facial structure was the exact same.
She definitely gave Cassie vibes. I'm flattered.
I tried to record it, but they almost kicked me out because you're not supposed to film in there.
Well,
so
yeah.
I got in trouble. But by the end of the night, we had a clear drunkest person ever, and it was Amber.
God, I feel like Ashley. I got too drunk. I gave strippers all my money. I threw up orange juice. And the only thing I can tell you is this is Amber. This bathroom floor is my best friend. It is so cold. Did you know you can sweat when you vomit?
I'm guessing you have some kind of PTSD or something, and you're just trying to numb it.
Damn, I don't remember half that night. I don't know. I don't remember making that.
That's how you're supposed to sound after a night like that. Don't worry about it.
All right. So after these first two, what are we calling them?
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Uh-huh. The current score is Rebecca, 200. Katie, 200. Mikey, 100. Jackson 100 and Amber 100. Everybody's on the board.
Okay, so there's still plenty of time. Plenty of time. Okay. So when we come back to you guys next hour, then we will have the next set of shenanigans, find out who got the most points and see who's closer to $1,000 and who's closer to painting themselves green all week long. Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
The Burt Show.
So you totally and completely embarrassed yourself at a work meeting, did you?
Made a fool of myself.
Did you now?
Completely. And it wasn't my fault, but it was my fault. So a good friend of mine is working on his project that he's wants to do this summer. And he's having these meetings for it that he wants of everybody that he wants involved in this project. So there's probably 7 or 8 people on this call. It's like a Zoom meeting. Everybody's buttoned up, real professional. I'm like the only person in there with a hoodie on. So I already feel a bit out of place joining this meeting. But it's fine. So the meeting goes on and everybody is kind of introducing themselves. And then you have your moment of kind of telling everyone what you're bringing to the project or what you intend to bring to the project. So at some point, which, of course, as the timing would have it, right at the time when the big endorsement that he is trying to get in order to fund this thing, the guy that's there to tell to like lead the company and basically make the decision on if he wants to come aboard, right as he is going to give his part, his speech, music just starts blasting from, well, they don't know where it is yet, but it's clearly from me. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, as this music starts blasting, I have no idea initially where this music is coming from. Like, I genuinely don't know.
So you're looking around like everybody else, like, who's the idiot that's blaring music?
Exactly, right?
But and the idiot is you!
The idiot is me.
Oh, no.
So, now, mind you, the music is, I don't know what song this is, but it's a hip-hop song, and it's not very work-friendly.
Oh, no.
Like, at all.
It's not safe for work.
Not even close. It's party, party, go time, turn it up, take that off, let's get to it, have fun type song, okay. Right? So I can hear it. So I'm like, it sounds like it's me, but it can't be me because I'm not playing music. So everybody, you can see everybody kind of doing the who is it thing. And then I realize it's me. So my lady is in the room, but she's out of camera. So I immediately look at her like, what are you doing? Like, turn the music off. Like, that's the look I'm giving her. And she's giving me the look back like, it's not me. So now I'm in a panic because I have my laptop in front of me. I have my iPad to the left. I have my phone to the right. Like, it could be coming from anywhere. So right as I try to figure out where it's coming from, it stops. So now I'm like, all right, I don't think anybody knows it was me. So let me just pretend like it wasn't. And then everybody kind of just, I don't know what that was, but all right, let's just go on with the meeting. So then about maybe 2 or 3 minutes goes by, the music comes back on. So now I really think somebody's playing a prank on me. Like, what? Come on, man. Like, and it's loud. I can't figure out why it's so loud. So now I turn my Bluetooth off here. I turn my phone off. I know it's not my iPad. I tell my lady, you just got to get out at this point. I don't know, because I just feel like it's you. She's like, it's not me. So then she leaves. The music is still going. And finally, like midway through the song playing, it occurs to me. And I figure out what's going on. So this is so stupid. I bought a chair for my office, right? Like a new chair. Mm-hmm. And I forgot that the chair, it comes with like, you can get a massage, but it also has speakers.
Shut up.
Oh, it's no. Speakers on the chair.
Okay.
Now, I've never used the speakers. I didn't even really care about the speakers. That just was there. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't realize is because the speakers are Bluetooth, I think like my neighbors or somebody accidentally connected their Bluetooth to my chair. So the music is coming from the chair. So the second time I realize it and I'm like, oh, it's the chair. So they're like, cool, dude, turn it off. And I'm like, I can't. I don't know where it's coming. It's not coming from me. So they're
about
like,
to pull
what?
One of those Morgan Wallens where you throw their chair off the roof of the house.
Get rid of it. The music, and I can't stop it. So I just mute myself and I look like an idiot because I don't want to explain this to them. Like, hey, guy, I bought a chair. It's blue. I was just like, hey, man, I just see my way out this meeting. Don't even worry about it. My bad. So literally, I don't know. The neighbor has done it 3 or 4 times now.
Right.
And I'm like, at some point, do you realize that like it's not connected to you? Because whatever you're trying to connect it to, you can't hear it. And they keep connecting it to my chair. And then they let it play for like 2 or 3 minutes before they turn it off. And I don't know how to disconnect the Bluetooth from my chair so that it won't happen.
I see.
I got to like figure that out.
Yeah, and I get why they're letting it play, because like when you're trying to connect something, you connect it and you're listening and you're waiting, and they're like, okay, well maybe it just needs a little couple more minutes to connect or whatever. So you just sit there and wait, and then finally after like 2 minutes, you're like, all right, I must have to reset everything and try again.
Exactly.
Okay, so can you unplug the chair?
Unplug the chair.
Okay, so you could do that.
That's what I should have done.
But then you can't use the other features.
Bingo. I can't use them. And the way that the chair is like such an... It's hooked up to the computer. The chair is ridiculous, right? Like, I deserve this for buying this chair. But I would have to unplug it because I don't know how to disconnect the Bluetooth but let every other feature still work.
As you're talking about all of these problems, I am realizing we are such a first world.
Oh, absolutely.
Morning show.
It's bad.
This is such a first world problem. Oh, my God. How do I disconnect the Bluetooth from my chair that has speakers on it?
Who buys an office chair with speakers on? I deserved every second of this.
What is wrong with this country?
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Theory on how you are going to act when you see a real ghost. And the reality of how you react when you see a real ghost. I learned this week are two completely different things. And I will explain it all to you craziness after Kristen gives us a little Monday motivation.
So the Monday mantra is coming from inside the house.
Ooh.
I got surprisingly emotional after something recently. And it was a small win that affected me in a really big way. And I captured the moment. So what you're going to hear is me recording myself sitting in my car right after a yoga practice. Okay. And after I did it, it felt very cringe. So I held on to it because I wasn't going to share it because I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I'm sitting there recording myself in my car. And you know how you kind of look around when you're doing something like that for social or whatever. And you think like somebody's going to catch me like influencers in the wild or something like that. And I'm like, what am I doing? Nobody cares about this. So I got in my head about it and I'm like, I'm not going to share it. But then I went back and I waited and I watched it. And I'm like, no, you know what? I was vulnerable. And this came from the heart. And I think it's applicable to every aspect of your life. So we're going to share it. So I just want you to call me Spicy Nike, because instead of just do it, I say just bleeping do it. Because after I watched the video again, I'm like, I'm just regurgitating Nike's slogan, just do it. I mean, essentially is what I'm saying here. But this was right after one of my yoga classes, my hot yoga classes. And I accomplished something really, really huge in that class. And I felt like I was walking on air when I walked out of that class. And then I got into my car and like the emotions kind of like fell over me. And I just wanted to capture the moment. So this is me after accomplishing something big to me after my yoga class. And I just wanted to pass this on to anybody who might need to hear this today to kick off your week.
I want to cry. I don't care. This might be a small win for somebody else, but this is a huge win for me. So twice during the class, I second-guessed myself. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And at the very end of class, Jill was like, hey, if you need anything else in your practice, an inversion. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try. And sure enough, I tried, and I did my first unassisted, by myself, full-on headstand.
Oh.
I did it. That little win, right, made such a huge difference. And I think sometimes you just have to say it, and you have to go for it. So yeah, I'm taking something small, and I'm making it a much bigger message. But I think it's just for women in general, or moms, like, stop doubting yourself and just go for it and do it and just try, because you never know, you might do it.
Can't hurt.
I know, right?
Wow.
I mean, and it was so crazy because twice during class, there was an opportunity and I thought about it and I even slightly attempted it and I was like, no, I can't. I can't. And then for whatever reason, at the end of the class, I was like dropping F-bombs in my head and I was like, and I did it. And like, and I did it well.
Yeah.
And I was like, now, mind you, this doesn't happen overnight. This took 102 classes get to this point.
This is why you feel so great about it.
Yeah. So this was, and this was always a goal going in. Like I always, this was an accomplishment that I was trying to, like that was my brass ring that I was trying to grab onto. And so the fact that I did it, and it was just the fact that I second guessed myself and then I wasn't going to do it, but then I did push, I pushed myself to do it and I was able to accomplish it. So I just feel like, and as I said, you know, as a woman and as a mom, you can doubt yourself, you can second guess yourself, you can talk yourself out of things, I mean, constantly. And I just want this to be your little sign not to talk yourself out of it, not to second guess yourself, not to doubt yourself, and to honestly just go for it.
And it felt sweeter because it was after 100 days. Had you done that after 3 or 4, you wouldn't be in your car crying.
No, no.
But the fact of the matter that you struggled for so long, and when you're in it, it just feels so frustrating. But the fact that you stayed with it for 100 days, man, good on you.
That was like a year and a half of work, 102 classes. Awesome, thank you. So I just, if you needed that little bit of nudge and you were like doubting yourself, just, you know, just try and see what happens. And
you
who knows?
Do it again?
Huh? Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to try it again this week because I got 2 classes this week. But I was just like, how about that? I didn't fall on anybody. I didn't knock anybody. I've always been afraid it's going to be like dominoes in my yoga class. And I'm going to go down and then everybody in my row is just going to go boop, 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 boop. But yeah, no, man.
That's good
awesome.
You.
Thank you.
The Burt Show.
All right. I always thought that ghosts don't freak me out. I really believe in that kind of thing. I do believe in the afterworld also, and I believe that people get stuck and all that, and spirits. I do believe in it. And I always felt like, because I had been told before that there are spirits in my house, and it has never freaked me out. I don't think it's like any kind of horror movie. I think that they're in the house. They're a little bit on the lost side, so you'll feel things sometimes. But actually seeing it, I thought, you know what? It won't even bother me. I know I'm not like they're not going to kill me. This is not like a movie, right? So the other day, listen to me, because this 100% happened. Sitting on the couch that I have in my living room that looks at my TV screen, it's a pretty well-lit room. And just to kind of explain it to you, there's a couch, there's a sliding glass door to the right where the sun comes in, and then there's a big window on the left also where the sun comes in as well. So I'm sitting there as the sun is just about setting, and the room is that sunset golden color.
The golden hour.
You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful, right? But I also happen to be on the phone with Molly, our Burt's Big Adventure. Let's call her president.
She's the executive director.
Whatever you want to call her. She's the one in charge, right? So I'm literally on a FaceTime call with her. And by the way, she starts work today. She's
back.
Awesome. Okay. Welcome back.
All right. So I'm on the call with her. And in the middle of her talking, I see sort of a plume of smoke, a skinny plume of smoke that is working its way from where my dining room is into the living room and then kind of twirling and just going away. And what I've heard before is that there are some times that spirits will appear as like a plume of smoke, right?
How many gummies did you have?
None. It was still early in the day.
I'm with you.
No, it was none. It was early in the day. It was, you know, it was, the sun was setting, right?
Yeah.
So I stopped in mid-conversation. I'm like, Molly, I think I am looking at a spirit right now, a ghost. And it stops me in my track, and I turn the phone around so she could see it, and she could not, right? So I'm a little bit jarred by it, but I can still continue to have a conversation. But it's in the back of my mind like, oh, my God, what did I just see? So we continue the conversation, and about, I don't know, 30 seconds later, this plume of smoke, same type deal. It almost looks like a little tornado-ish type deal that comes again from the dining room area into the living room in front of me and is swirling in front of me and then just whew, kind of dissipates. And I'm on the phone with Molly again, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, Molly, Molly. And I immediately turn the phone around, and I said, can you see this? And she cannot see it. So I'm sitting there almost in fear, but also in awe. Like, is this my dad? Because Amber, our producer, does all these kind of things where she comes in your house and looks for spirits and has told me that my dad is downstairs. So I'm thinking Pop's worked his way up to the fridge or whatever. So I'm so freaked out, and I'm still in this conversation with her. And I get up and I look at outside of my window, and I look to the left, and then I look to the right. Then I look around the wall, and I realize that it is the smoke from the diffuser that I have in the house. So you know that scent diffuser I'm always telling you guys about that makes my house smell so good? It's sort of in a part of the house where I've never really seen the mist come out of it. So on this day, I think the way the fan was blowing, my air conditioning was on, and the diffuser smoke was coming up, it blew it into my living room, and I was sure that I was seeing a ghost.
This is so funny, because when I went to your house for the first time, I immediately Amazon Prime that scent diffuser because it smells so good.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened to me, but on my Ring camera or my little Blink security cameras.
Yeah.
So I'm out of town. I can't remember where I was. And I have my Blink alarms set to where anytime there's movement in front of the camera, it'll do a little recording. I typically do it so I can watch my cats when I'm out of town. And all of a sudden, my Blink camera just goes bing, 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 bing. And I'm thinking, oh my God, someone has broken into my house, because my cats are normally just laying on the couch. And I open up the clips and I see that kind of that tornado thing you're talking about. I'm like, oh my God, it's a spirit. And then I realize, I'm like, oh no, it's my sentiment diffuser.
That's exactly right. I was so freaked out by that. I was so disappointed in myself too, because I had to go to Molly and go, oh. It's not a ghost. It's my diffuser.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
After news broke that actor Gene Hackman had passed away, I think the biggest question that came out of this entire story was, how did none of his kids check up on him and his wife? Because I think they were left in their home for like 11 days before anybody really found them. And it was like the landscaper that called somebody. Nobody in his family apparently was checking in to see if the 95-year-old Gene Hackman was doing right.
It's odd, right? Because you're talking about sheer numbers also. There are three or four kids, right?
There's three kids he has from a previous marriage. And him and his wife, Betsy, were the two that passed away in their home. I believe in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. And I think it is important to take into account, this is a man who's 95, who, from what we now know, had Alzheimer's or dementia. So his wife was his caregiver. So if you're a child of a parent who's 95 who has dementia, you think the three of you would get together and be like, all right, let's all kind of come up with a game plan of who's checking on Pops like this day or this week.
Now, I have two half brothers, and we have a mother that's in a dementia clinic also, right? But we would all be alerted immediately if that happened. Now, I don't know how much the other guys are checking on her.
So his will actually might give us all the answers we need to know about his relationship with his kids, because he had an estate that was worth $80 million. And in his will, he states that he is leaving it all to his wife, Betsy, who unfortunately has passed away. But it made no mention of his three children from a previous marriage.
So this does make some sense then, that, I mean, if he left them completely out of the will, that is making a statement about their relationship.
Well, it makes you wonder what happened in their family, because you would think at the very least in your will, you're still going to leave something for your children. Like, you don't need to leave them $40 million, but at the very least, like, these are your kids, like, this is your blood. You're just going to leave them absolutely nothing.
So do we know what will happen in a situation where you leave it to your wife and then your wife also passes? Who gets it then?
It goes to her will, right? What's her will say?
So her will said that she was leaving everything she owns to Gene, and the provision in there was that if he died first, it was all going to go into a trust and then go to charity. But for Gene's will, his kids, I do believe, become next in line if Betsy passes away. So this, in a weird way, this kind of worked out for his kids. I mean, of course, I'm sure they would rather have their father be alive, but I mean, with the way everything seemingly worked out, it almost feels a little suspicious now.
And I want to remind people, because I think the default for a long time when you find out a family dynamic like this, and I don't know why this has popped up in my algorithm and people are talking about it, but the older generation finds it so disrespectful and rude if kids cut off their parents. But I want to remind everybody that the parents probably had to have done something to get cut off. So before you come down on the kids for not having any contact with their father, you also need to ask yourself, well, what did Gene do to cause his kids to not want to check in on him?
That's a really, really good point. And we don't know what any of the details are on that relationship. But it is odd to me also that certainly he's working with top-end attorneys, right? I mean, his estate is worth how much?
$80 million.
So if the provision was if he passes away, it goes to her, and if she passes away, it goes to him, certainly a high-powered attorney would think common sense-wise, because I don't have any kind of degree, and I'm like, well, what if they both pass away at the same time in a car accident, in a plane, tree falls on the house, then who does it go to? You would think it would be in there.
I also feel like I don't like speculating in a situation like this, but when you look at the fact that there may be some estrangement, if you have an estrangement from like all three of your kids, that's telling. Like if it was one, maybe two, but when all three seem to be in the same boat, that tells you something.
Yeah, there's a common denominator. And I feel like just biologically, kids don't not want to have a relationship with their parents, especially when their parent is worth $80 million. Right. Like, facts. I got 80 million reasons to call you up at least once a month.
We're so going to fix this.
We're going to find where there's a will.
There's a way.
All right, Bill Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend is finally speaking out against haters. I'm going to tell you how she's defending herself on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No